that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty.
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free steak.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5. Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX. Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology.
And by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Patrick Creighton. Look in my
eyes, what do you see? Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. Patrick Creighton with you. Time to get some college football in. And to do that, we go to the HRMP guest line. We talk to my good friend from CBS Sports Radio. He also hosts Drive Time in the heart of Clemson country. It's my buddy Mark Ryan. What's going on, Mark? How are you, brother?
Patrick Creighton, PC. What is good, my man? College football in full swing. And you know what, man? For as down as many of us feel, that are traditionalists of the sport. I know, Patrick, you are a baseball traditionalist, a college football traditionalist. They got us, man. They got us right where they want us, because when the games begin, we forget all the nonsense going on behind the scenes.
Brother, let me ask, because, you know, knowing that, you know, like, and look, Mark's going to join us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and I really appreciate him for doing that. Maybe there is nobody more in tune with college football than my buddy Mark Ryan. Mark, I've been thinking about this all day, you know, stuff that I wanted to talk to you about tonight, things that I think you will give great insight in. And that is the impact of NIL and the transfer portal, particularly on teams that recently have been dominant. Alabama, Clemson, teams that have been the most dominant teams of the last decade in college football. And now it seems not just one or two programs are kind of catching up to them, but a lot of programs are catching up to them. Is NIL combined with the portal creating the most parity we've seen in college football in about 25 years?
You know, Patrick, there's a lot of different and competing theories on that. On the one hand, it makes sense to say, well, you know what's going to happen? All these four stars that are riding the pond at Alabama are going to filter down and some other schools are going to get their hands on them. And to a degree, that happens, Patrick. But honestly, what is going on is the richest boosters are getting the best players. Lane Kiffin makes a great point on this. He says, look, kids coming out of high school, transfer portal players, the number one thing they all want to know is what's the offer? What's the bag? What are you giving me? Right? Even though, Patrick, it's completely illegal and against the NCAA rules to use that, to use inducements to get a player to change schools. Right? College football is not designed to be free agency. They just have nobody enforcing it right now. So what Lane Kiffin said is what I've done, and he said, check out the top 20 schools in terms of the recruiting rankings. And what you'll find is some new faces on there. What does that tell you? It tells you they've got some deep-pocketed boosters. SMU, for instance, Patrick, just bought their way into the ACC. They're going to receive no kickback, no TV money from the conference for 9 years. Why would they do that? They just want to play with the big boys. They bought their way in. They have deep-pocketed boosters who are giving the school the money they would be getting if the ACC was paying them. How crazy is that?
That is extremely crazy. I mean, who the hell is giving up that money?
That's exactly right. They're deep-pocketed boosters, man. You know, the Pony Express, the 30 for 30 on ESPN, that was so well received, and the history of that program from Eric Dickerson, et cetera. You know, the boosters there are tired of being an afterthought. They want to play with the big boys. They saw a chance to do that. They bought their way in. But it's essentially, Patrick, you know, unlike, it's worse than pro sports now, honestly, because pro sports, you have guardrails. In every sport but baseball, you've got a salary cap. You have to, you know, fit into certain rules, and college football now, man, you know, you've heard the phrase, the wild, wild west. The hope is that Congress is going to step in and we're at least going to have some form of uniformity. And believe me, I'm not the dude that wants government in all walks of my life, but we desperately need some uniformity here. Otherwise, Patrick, there's no reason why Oregon with Nike dollars shouldn't win every single national championship. Or Oklahoma State with their billion-dollar booster. They shouldn't win every single national championship. It's a really, really rough road to hoe right now in college football, desperately needing some guardrails.
You know, Mark, for so long, I was so anti-government involvement. Like to me, this was always, why can't the NCAA, you know, clean up its own backyard? Why does it need the government to clean it up for it? And the more I've read about it, the more I've gotten myself educated on it, it's because every state government wants to get involved, and they all pass different laws, which create a very unlevel playing surface for every university going across D1. If the government had just stayed the hell out of sports, which they should always do and always think they need to grandstand about doing something in sports, if the government would stay the hell out of sports, we wouldn't need the government to fix what they've broken. But the states have broken it. Now we need the federal government to fix it because the NCAA cannot tell states, listen, your state says you can do this, but we're telling you you can't, so don't do it. Like, yeah, right. The hell with you. And that's kind of how this goes. And it's crazy how there's so much money, right? There is just more money than we've ever seen going around. And look, we're seeing a lot of schools that don't have, like, the legacy coaches, right? Like, Dabo is a legacy coach, and Nick Saban is a legacy coach. Maybe Jimbo Fisher is a legacy coach. He's won a national title, even though it was at a different school. But we're seeing, you know, younger guys. You're seeing, you know, the Ryan Days, and you're seeing Lincoln Riley, and now Deion Sanders, and guys who are not, quote, legacy coaches, getting kids in the transfer portal. Do kids care about legacy coaches?
I think to a degree it matters, Patrick, but not as much as one might think. You know, what the kids care about is who's going to get them into the NFL. And that's where a guy like Deion Sanders can come in, flex his muscles, and really comes out smelling like roses. Look, Deion Sanders has a sign behind him in his office, right? You feel good, you play good. You play good, they pay good. He leans right into, he's speaking the language of the kids today. It makes the traditionalists like you and I cringe a little bit, Patrick, but he's leaning right into it. And I'll tell you another thing he's doing. He's killing the patience argument for any other coach who's asking for time. Why should we give you time when you see what Coach Prime is doing today? Do you realize, man, that that was last week's game, Colorado-Nebraska, okay? It outrated Texas and Alabama. Think about that for a minute. Colorado, 1-11 last year, outrated on television Texas and Alabama, and it was the highest-rated game from the Pac-12 on a particular national network that national network has ever had.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. We're talking with Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio. Also, I host Afternoon Drive, the Fan Upstate in South Carolina. He is in the heart of Clemson country. Mark, as we get through this this season, we're just a couple games into the season, but there have been some absolutely standout, amazing performances. Some by guys that you expected, some by guys who have kind of maybe come out of the woodwork a little bit, maybe guys who weren't expected to play as well as they are. What does your top five Heisman watch look like right now?
You know what, Patrick? I'm going to tell you what. I've got a top one, and here's why. I am unwilling to add other guys to a list that should be a list of one. Maybe if you're feeling really generous, a list of two. But, Patrick, to me, it's number one, Travis Hunter. It's number two, Shador Sanders, both out of Colorado. It should go to the country's best player, right? That's what it always should be, the country's most outstanding player. Travis Hunter, Patrick, played 125 snaps last week for Colorado.
I'd be dead. Okay?
He played 60-some-odd snaps on defense, 60-some-odd snaps on offense. He is college football's Shohei Ohtani. And we've really never seen anything like this before. You think back to when Charles Woodson won the Heisman. How did Michigan use him? He was a defensive back first. He was a punt returner second. And every once in a great while, they put him in on an end-around or something like that on the offensive side of the ball. Travis Hunter is the Colorado Buffalo's best receiver. Travis Hunter is the Colorado Buffalo's best defensive back. He's making plays all over the field. He's never asking out of a game because he's tired. Coach Prime has brilliantly orchestrated, okay, I got three or four playmakers. They're going to be on the field all the time. And I think, Patrick, just like we were arguing with Shohei Ohtani, if anyone but him gets the AL MVP, it's a crime. If anyone but Travis Hunter, I don't even want to have the conversation, Patrick, because of how unique and rare what we're seeing is. If Colorado can go 8-4, 9-3, if Travis Hunter can do this the entire year, being a 10-level defensive back and an 8-level wide receiver, what would you say? Shohei Ohtani is a 10-level hitter and an 8.5 or 9-level pitcher. If Travis Hunter can do that, man, this is an open and shut case. But how about Shedeur Sanders as well for the silver medal? A 1AA quarterback, an FCS quarterback, comes to Colorado. He was a 3-star out of high school, okay, 3-star, you know, offered by Group of Five schools predominantly. Comes to Colorado. No one's ever seen him before. Oh, this is nepotism. Coach Prime starting his kid until it wasn't. Until Shedeur Sanders looks about as calm and poised in the pocket for someone who's never played football at this level. It truly is incredible. I think you can tell I'm a wee bit high on Colorado this far in the interview, right?
Hey, you know what? I'm loving watching Colorado. I love what Deion has done. It's amazing to me that you could take a 1-11 team, basically flip the entire locker room, get 50-plus guys out of the transfer portal, and get them all together the same way, coached up as well as he has, to get the wins that they have gotten. I mean, yeah, generally you wouldn't think, hey, Jackson State is not going to beat Nebraska. They took down TCU. They were in the title game last year, and they took them down. Their offense is just absolutely insane. I know maybe the defense won't hold up so well against the run, but they've got some good guys in pass coverage, and they can get after the quarterback a bit. And so far, nobody looks like they are stopping that offense. And like I feel like when we look at their schedule, they have a lot of top teams on their schedule coming up. But all those teams that are on their schedule coming up in the Pac-12, how many of those teams are big defensive teams versus big offensive teams?
Yeah, so Patrick, the thing is, they've got a murderer's row slate. Okay, they've got six ranked Pac-12 opponents that they've got to play, right? Oregon's got a significant defensive presence. USC doesn't play on that side of the ball largely at all. Those two teams are the next two they have coming up. They have at Oregon, followed by USC. Oregon on the road, USC at home. The way I look at it, Patrick, man, consider this was a team that had an over-under win total of 3.5 wins this year. Once they pound Colorado State into oblivion this week, they're going to be 3-0. If they can split somehow their top 25 games, and they've already beaten TCU, finish the year 9-3, win a bowl game, 10 wins for Coach Prime. Think of all the coaches. Think of all the quarterbacks. The excuse is always, oh, we've got a new coordinator. It's going to need some time. What the hell is going on in Boulder, Colorado? You have a new everything. They don't need time? You know, they have 63 players, all new coaches, all new coordinators. It's not supposed to be this easy. And that is why America, I think, is transfixed with this team right now, and I think they've got a great claim to be America's team, quite honestly. I just hope, Patrick, I hope that Coach Prime stays in Boulder, Colorado. You know, he and his son have kind of followed each other around. Shedeur Sanders can declare for the NFL this year. Could be the third best quarterback in the draft class, right? So if that's the case, does Coach Prime follow his son again? I think Colorado's a great place for him. This is a program that has been morbid. They have been depressed. They've not done anything of significance this century. When I was a kid growing up, Patrick, they won a national championship when I lived there. That was circa 1990. Okay, won a national championship when I was there. I've done squat since. It's so great to see Folsom Field rocking again, man. You didn't know you were tuning into a Colorado Buffalo show today, but, man, I'm telling you, it's hard to talk college football without really hyping what is going on right there.
See, isn't that the best story in college football right now? I mean, when Coach Prime went to Jackson State, it was pretty much the college football, I guess,
you know, the elitists, you know, the establishment, he's going to fail. He's just another one of these former stars that think they don't have to have any coaching experience. They can just walk in. Everything's going to be great. People wanted him to fail, and he didn't. He succeeded. But then it was always, well, he might be doing well at that kind of school, and we know what they meant by that, but he couldn't succeed at a Power Five school. And it took a program beyond desperate after a hideous one-win season, beyond desperate to ask him to come coach, to offer him a contract. They didn't even have the money to pay him. To offer him a deal. We'll find the money somehow, Dion. Just please come coach for us because we are desperate. And as you said, expected to win maybe 3.5 games. And they're on the verge of being 3-0 after they stomp a mud hole in Colorado State and walk it dry. I love the fact that he is having success in the face of all of the establishment saying he could never have it.
Yeah, and he's not falling in line, Patrick. He's marching to the beat of his own drum. He's not paying homage to anybody, right? He doesn't give a damn about your hierarchy, right? He's full of fire and brimstone, and he's doing it in his own way, and his own way is working. And it just seems like he had no doubt in himself at any point. Like, he saw something that none of us saw. We look at the schedule, oh, man, I think Coach Prime is going to work eventually, but, you know, give him 2 or 3 years to post a winning record there. Excuse me? Look at what he's doing right now. It is truly, Patrick, unbelievable.
Mark, well, let me ask you about some coaches who might be on the hot seat. Let me ask you, because Jimbo Fisher's got a zillion years and a zillion dollars on his contract, but there is a lot of chatter that Jimbo's seat might be very, very warm. Are you buying the idea that Jimbo Fisher has the hottest of hot seats in College Station?
You know, Patrick, in our industry, in sports media, a lot of times the first one out the door is the one with the highest contract. When you've got to cut some money, you look at the big contracts first. It's unfortunate. That's the way it goes. Anybody who can afford Jimbo Fisher's $93 million contract can also afford to get rid of Jimbo Fisher. What's going on there, man, is completely and totally unacceptable. They have elite talent. They play no defense whatsoever. The special team stinks. The quarterback play is inconsistent, and that's supposed to be Jimbo Fisher's forte. And the reality is he's been worse than Kevin Sumlin, the coach before him, in College Station, and that was a guy that they really wanted to run out of town, okay? So, to say the least, Jimbo Fisher is on the hot seat. He's got the hottest seat in all of college football right now. We all have passed our list of coaches who are getting more out of less. Coach Prime is on that list, right? And we all have our list of coaches who's getting less out of more. Jimbo Fisher is 1A on that list right now. Now, how do you sell... We've got top five talent at this school. Right now, Patrick, there's something called the 24/7 Sports Total Team Talent Composite that looks at all the talent on the roster. Texas A&M has the fourth best talent in the country. They can't beat unranked Miami. Okay, it's truly unbelievable. Lost to Appalachian State last year, 48 points allowed to Miami this year. But we shouldn't just focus on the good things. I mean, Jiminy Christmas, this guy's really struggling. I also look at, Patrick, a guy like Neil Brown at West Virginia, a proud program kind of slinking sadly down to mediocrity. I think Billy Napier at Florida is under pressure, but he's on the hot seat. There's a difference between being under pressure and on the hot seat. I think Jimbo Fisher's seat is insanely hot right now, and he better hope that he can somehow scratch out a 9-3 year this year, a 6-2 SEC mark, or I think they're going to be sending them a big check not to come to College Station anymore.
Mark, Dana Holgorsen at UH, his team just lost to Rice. Rice hasn't beaten UH since 2010. Is that the kind of loss that says, buddy, update your resume?
I like Dana Holgorsen, Patrick. I do. You know, there's no excuse for losing to Rice, although, in fairness, Bryce and JT Daniels gave Texas a little bit of a run for their money the previous week. You know what, man? I get the sense that the powers that be, the Board of Trustees, folks I've talked to down there, find him a little bit prickly. That's not what they want as the face of their program. This is, again, Patrick, I mean, remember, Tillman Fertitta came at me a few years ago for criticizing his hire of Major Applewhite. You know, they wouldn't hire Lane Kiffin when Lane Kiffin would have been a home run hire there. So they make the brash, outspoken hire this time. He seems to be wearing out his welcome in Houston. I wish they would give him some time. He's got the pedigree. Look at what West Virginia was with Dana Holgorsen, and look at what they've been without him. It's going to take some time. Look, Patrick, Utah won the Pac-12 last year. Utah was mired in a few years of mediocrity, building up the depth that you need to compete in a Power 5 conference. I don't know that Dana Holgorsen is going to be given that time, but if he is, if he ever was, I think he'd do some good work there.
He's Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, also the Afternoon Drive host at The Fan Upstate in South Carolina in the heart of Clemson country. Follow him on Twitter at Mark Ryan on Air. Buddy, it's always great to talk with you, man. I wish we had a few hours to talk college football, but I'm glad you'll be joining us every Wednesday, brother. I appreciate your time.
Yeah,
brother.
It was a great time.
Don't forget my talk soon. Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio, with us on the HR&B guest line. Coming up next, it's time for Money Plays. Our buddy Gerard Hartman, you know him as Clee Picks. He's got your college football money plays next.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
I want the ball. Give me the ball.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
It's time for Money Plays with Patrick Creighton.
Ow! Love that money.
Presented by BetUS, the original online sports book.
Now, get ready to take down the best money plays of the day.
All right, joining us right now on the HR&P guest line with your college football money plays, he's our buddy Gerard Hartman. You know him as Clee Picks on all his social media. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Patrick, my friend, it's starting to feel like fall. It's about mid-60s. Pumpkin spice, everything's out in the stores. It's definitely football season, my friend.
Yeah, it's 96 degrees down here during the day at like 7 o'clock at night. It hasn't quite hit fall yet.
I'm sorry.
You know, one of these days, I don't think we've gotten more than like 30 seconds of rain in any given day in about 9 weeks. Like, we are all under like massive drought warnings, and the city puts out these things that says, oh, you're only allowed to water your lawn twice a week for 30 minutes a day. And it's crazy how hot it has been under this quote heat dome. They say that we're in every week. They say, well, we're going to get rain. And every week we just sweat to death.
Well, Patrick, if you need a place to stay here in Northeast Ohio, just give me a call. I'll hook you up with someone.
Dude, listen, that you might be getting a call on that. You might. Let's get to some money plays, brother. Nobody knows college football picks as well as you do. I know you got a couple of games for us. Let's start with Washington and Michigan State, the 8th-ranked Huskies, going to Sparty Land. They are 16-point favorites on the road. What do you like about this game?
Yeah, we talked a couple weeks ago about how much I love Washington, and they've made me look smart through 2 weeks, Patrick. They've outscored opponents 99-29 through those two games, including against a group of five power Boise State. Michael Penix has picked up right where he left off a year ago with over 850 yards passing and 8 touchdowns through those two games. And most importantly, it's a mess right now up in East Lansing. Mel Tucker got fired earlier this week. We talked about the transfers out in spring ball. It's an absolute, just utter mess for Michigan State. Last year, this game ended up in 39-28, but the final score really didn't indicate how dominant Washington was in the game. Michigan State scored 2 scores late in the game, under 6 minutes left, and 21 of the 28 points scored in that game were by Peyton Thorne, who's now the quarterback at Auburn, or Keon Coleman, who's now starting wide receiver at Florida State. I love Washington here to keep on rolling, -16, beaten in East Lansing on Saturday afternoon, excuse me.
All right, we got Washington -16, putting that one in the book here. Next one you got on for us, the number one team in the nation, the 2-time defending champion, Georgia Bulldogs. They are at home against
SEC rival, I'll call them SEC rival, even though it's kind of a one-sided rivalry of late, South Carolina. They are 27.5 point favorites over the Gamecocks. Where is there value in this game?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a different approach to this one with Georgia. They've been a very dominant first-half team in this two-year stretch that they've won, you know, obviously the back-to-back titles. Last 3 years, they faced South Carolina. They've led 24-0, 26-6, and 28-10 at halftime. So far this year, Georgia in two games have led 31-0 last week at halftime against Ball State and 17-0 against Tennessee Martin. You would think the 31-0 halftime lead would be good for Kirby Smart. No, he was PO'd about the first quarter performance by his Georgia Bulldogs. South Carolina, good team, but they have very big issues up front. They got 9 sacks against North Carolina in week one. Don't like the full game number in this one because it's kind of landed around there at that 27.5, 28 range these last couple years. But I love that first half number. So I'm going with Georgia, first half, -14.5 against South Carolina.
All right, he's got the Bulldogs. First half, -14.5. Clay, I know you got another game here, and this is a game. Look, it's going to be Saturday night, prime time. This is going to be what I think is going to be an absolute blowout. The 18th-ranked Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders team against Colorado State. This one in Boulder. Shedeur Sanders has been unstoppable. What do you like on this game? The Buffs favored by 23.
Yeah, no, you touched on Shedeur Sanders, and I've been extremely impressed with Deion's son at the quarterback position. Over 900 yards passing, 6 touchdowns on the year. The Buffaloes coming in this game averaging 453 yards passing through the two games. That ranks 2nd in the country. Colorado State's played only 1 game this year, Patrick, and in that game they gave up 550 yards and 450 of those in the year against Cam Ward in Washington State. Colorado State, as I said in that game, gave up 50 points. Now they play a better offense with a better athletes. I absolutely love the Colorado offense. Shedeur's, you know, been, as I said, phenomenal. This is a prime spot to showcase all their players. College game day will be there. Big noon kickoff will be there. Pat McAfee's show will be there on Friday. I like Colorado State's team total over 41.5. Don't worry about the spread. Just think Colorado will let up the scoreboard, and you have a big showcase on primetime on Saturday night. Over 41.5 is my play with Colorado.
Over 41.5. Now, is that that's just Colorado, not the whole
game? Yes, just Colorado. Yes, correct.
Okay, so I gotta know what I'm putting in here because you know, listen, you you guys at Bet Predators have done right by me with the number of bets that you guys have hit. So. My wallet appreciates you guys. He is Gerard Hartman. You know him as Clee Picks on Twitter, on all social media. College football handicapper extraordinaire. Now, you've got a college football rankings out on bettingpredators.com. What is the difference between the way you rank teams versus, say, how the teams come out on the AP, et cetera? What makes your rankings different, and why should people be looking at what you're doing versus just the random regular polls?
I mean, it's one thing, it's the way I see things. I personally have Florida State number 2 in my rankings. A lot of people have Michigan number 2 right now. I dropped Alabama out of the top 10. They're sitting at 10. They are very similar in a way, but at the same time, though, it's just kind of the way I've been watching games and seeing how these teams have looked. Obviously Georgia's the best team in the country, but at the same time, though, I think there's a smaller gap between Georgia and Florida State than many people are, you know, talking about. It's a poll every week I like to put up there. Makes it fun and interactive. I've already been told by Michigan fans that, you know, I'm being an Ohio State homer by having the number 3 in the country. I'm just like, hey, come on, man. Like, play LSU in the non-conference and beat them by 3 touchdowns, and then maybe I'll put you at number 2. So it's just always fun and interactive. But, it's the way I see how college football is. I kind of also look at it, too. the way maybe the college football committee is ranking their teams as well. I think as if they did rank things today, I think they would have it Georgia, Florida State, Michigan, and Texas as the top four teams because of those wins, Florida State and Texas have had, and based upon how, good Georgia and Michigan have looked. So that's kind of how I look at things. I give it a look every week. I'll have them out usually Monday night, Tuesday morning.
He's Gerard Hartman. You know him as Clay Picks on all his social media, bettingpredators.com with us on the HRMP guest line. Follow him on Twitter at Clay Picks, C-L-E Picks. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him on all his social media there. Get with him at bettingpredators.com, and you're going to find some winners. I know firsthand because I'm using the information he's giving me, and I'm making money, and we're trying to help share some of that money with all of you. Brother, I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, Patrick.
All right. He's Clay Picks with us on the HRNP guest line. Before we hit the final segment of the show, you know what? You just got all that great wagering information. Now, how are you going to capitalize on it? You're going to capitalize on it at BetUS.com. It's my favorite sports book. It's going to be your favorite sports book, BetUS.com. You know why? Because now celebrating their 30th year as a sports betting service, they have a 30th anniversary offer that you can't pass up. 30 risk-free bets. You win, you cash. You lose, you keep your money. Up to 30 risk-free bets. It's called Bet Protect, and nobody else is offering 30 of them. Need a little bit of more? Well, they've got the best industry sign-up bonus. 125% sign-up bonus with BetUS. 125%. If you use crypto, it's 200%. Those of you who know how to use crypto, take advantage of the bigger bonus. You know what? Maybe you don't know how to use crypto. Here's a key. Call them. 1-800-MY-BET-US. 1-800-MY-BET-US. They'll teach you how to do the crypto to make the deposit and get the massive bonus. 1-800-MY-BET-US, or just go online, betus.com. BetUS.com, sportsbook and casino, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. Oh, it's you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh?
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5, presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology,
and by BetUS, the original online sports book.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, home stretch, Late Hits, ESPN 97.5, and you know, B-Mac, the Houston Texans put out a very long injury list today for the Wednesday injury report. Neville Hewitt did not practice. Jalen Petrie, who left the hospital on Monday, he did not practice. And I would be very surprised if we see Jalen Petrie play this week. Laremy Tunsil did not practice. He was listed as having a knee injury.
Uh-oh.
Now, I didn't see anything about Laremy Tunsil having some kind of significant knee injury.
Yeah, when I first saw this, I thought, oh, that's a Veterans Day off.
I feel like this is a Veterans Day off disguised as, oh, yeah, he's got a knee. Like,
they got to put something down. So, yeah, they're putting knee down. But we'll see. We'll see what the practice report is tomorrow. If he's back on the field tomorrow, then no concern.
They did this a lot last year. Malik Collins had a knee issue all year long and would have Wednesdays off and then keep playing.
I remember for years during his prime, Tom Brady every single week had a shoulder problem. Every single week.
Yeah, well, you know.
It didn't matter.
when you're caught being dishonest about your injury report. Remember that Belichick just started listing the whole damn team on the injury report?
Yeah, it was about that time. Every single week, Tom Brady had a shoulder injury.
Jimmy Ward did not practice today.
That's concerning.
Still has the hip injury. The following players were limited participants. Graylin Arnold, he's basically a special teams guy. Blake Cashman, last week was a DNP and didn't play, has now moved up to being a limited participant, so that's a positive. George Fant, who left the game on Sunday, was a limited participant. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. John Metchie was at practice and was running routes and catching footballs. He was a limited participant. And with Noah Brown going on IR today, that should elevate Tank Dell up from the 4 to the 3. That could open up space here. If Metchie's able to play this week, he could wind up filling the role that Tank Dell played this past week as the number 4 receiver. If he's not ready to go, Xavier Hutchinson will fill that role. Denzel Perryman, you know, their leading tackler, he was a limited participant. Dalton Schultz and Bobby Trees, actually on there.
Yeah, it's
not
actually
injury
listed
related.
As rest.
Just that is the old school veteran day off.
So maybe they could have just been honest about Laramie Tunsil. There was nothing going on. So.
I think they could have, but you know what? If he said, well, you know, I have a cut on my knee. Oh, knee injury.
Yeah, maybe so. You maybe know, maybe Bobby Trees just had nothing they could lie about.
Now they can milk that for all it's worth.
So on this list, is what concerns you the most, if there's anything that concerns you?
Okay, number one, of course, look, Jimmy Ward not practicing.
Yeah, because you're probably going in, if he doesn't play, down two safeties again, and that was an obvious problem.
So I'm obviously concerned about Jimmy Ward not practicing because I don't expect Petrie to play this
right.
week. If you have a bruised lung, chances are you're not going to play.
No, and no one should hold that against them. I mean, if anyone dares whisper the word soft, I will come down and have some words with them. That look, and we saw, look, I know there were some bad pass interference calls included in this, but there was a noticeable drop-off in the play of the secondary when Petrie left. So if you're down both Petrie and Jimmy Ward again, I mean, it is Anthony Richardson, a rookie quarterback on the road, but there is a little bit of concern there because Michael Pittman had a big week last week for the Colts.
Look, you're talking about your best safety, and you're talking about the guy who is, like, you know, the captain of your
safety. Yeah,
safeties,
your play caller, almost.
You know, Jimmy Ward is the guy who's the captain back there and gets everybody in position and keeps everything running. And Jalen Petrie is your best playmaker at the position. The Tunsil injury, I'm concerned about because there's really been nothing about it. And I'm hoping that tomorrow we'll see, oh, that's not a big deal. Tomorrow Tunsil will at least practice on a limited basis. If Tunsil gets a limited practice and tomorrow, you know, he's good. But
can I give you what might come off as a hot take? If Laramie Tunsil is legit injured and can't play, start Davis Mills. I'm not putting C.J. Stroud behind an offensive line with, what, one starter that they were actually counting on when training camp began in Shaq Mason?
That is a fire hot take, and I would also tell you that I trust C.J. Stroud facing the blitz more than I trust Davis Mills facing the blitz.
I don't care about the actual game at that point. I'm just trying to leave that game with C.J. Stroud not battered and bruised like David Carr. Like, if they go in that game from the offensive line they're planning on having, you know, no Laramie Tunsil, no Kenyon Green, no Quesenberry, no Juice Scruggs, no Titus Howard, and your only remaining starter is Shaq Mason, who did not have a good rating in pass pro this last weekend, and some absolute disasters that we saw starting the game. And we saw what happened when they were putting some of these guys in after I can't remember the injury that happened off the top of my head, but there was a couple times in the Ravens game where it was just a turnstile out there. I legit...
With Michael Dieter.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Sorry, thank you. If that's what they have here in the offensive line, it was already bad against the Ravens, and you take Laramie Tunsil out of that equation, hypothetically, if he's out, then seriously, punt the game, put in Davis Mills. I will stand by that take.
I do not want to punt a game against the Colts because I hate the Colts.
Well, you can still hate the Colts afterwards.
And I don't. I said I'm done with punting. I'm tired of punting. I've been punting for 3 years. I'm done with punting.
Punting is better than having C.J. Stroud killed.
I don't feel like, oh, well, C.J.'s going to get killed. I feel like C.J.'s athletic enough that he's not going to die.
All right.
I feel like Davis Mills might get killed.
Yeah, but you wouldn't care about that.
If I'm considering the idea of trading him, then I care about it.
You're showcasing Davis Mills. That's how I'll spin it to you. We're
going to
showcase Davis Mills, Patrick.
Like, yesterday we were talking about the idea of, all right, Aaron Rodgers is out for the year. Would the Jets call and say, hey, we're looking for a backup quarterback for Zach Wilson? is Davis Mills or Case Keenum available? Which one of those two guys would you rather deal? Because the fact that Keenum barely played in practice, I mean, they signed an extra quarterback so that he wouldn't have to throw. He's inactive on game day. Like, I'm wondering, is Case's arm held together by spit and duct tape right now?
He's an older quarterback.
And he's, was he 35?
That's an older quarterback. And Tom Brady has ruined that for everybody. Not every quarterback plays till they're 45.
And then you've got, you know, Davis Mills, who, look, you don't, I think Davis Mills will be a great starter for the Houston Roughnecks, but not for the Houston Texans. And if somebody would give me a 4, a 5, hell, a 6 for Davis Mills, adios muchacho.
Yeah, especially
the question
a 4.
Is, if I trade Davis Mills, is Case Keenum capable of playing physically? I know mentally he's got the smarts. Is he physically able to play?
Yeah, I have. I mean, there's no way to know that for sure unless you're inside that building. So it's a tough, difficult question to ask. But I think the season's over regardless. If for some reason C.J. Stroud is out and you're putting in Davis Mills or Case Keenum, the result is pretty much the same anyway. So I don't think it matters. If
you could sign,
if you get offered a 4th, just take it and worry about the results later.
You could sign he who shall not be named. And that would cause a lot of consternation here in deep in the heart of Texas. Signing he who shall not be named. Hasn't played football in about 6 years.
I mean, no, I mean,
but he's out there reaching out to the JEST saying, hey, I'm still in shape. Look, I can play.
Regardless if it was collusion, regardless if he should have been in the league by now, at this point, if one season out of the league from Deshaun Watson was bad, I mean, what would 6 years out of the league be?
Well, let me ask you this from a different point of view, right? Let's say you are not a fan of he who shall not be named.
I didn't care about that story one way or the other. I thought it was overblown.
All right. I don't disagree with it. But let's say you're not a fan of he who shall not be named. And you're putting him behind an offensive line that doesn't have Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil, and he's probably going to get killed. Would you be like, yeah, let's sign him. Let's sign him. Let's get him killed. Would you be that kind of person?
No, because I think that's – no, I look, I don't want to get into a whole
percentage of Texans fans.
Oh, there will be a percentage.
Do you think we'd be like, yes, let's get him killed?
God, this is conversation's taking a dark turn, Patrick. I'm uncomfortable. You threw this on me. We got 3 minutes left of the show, and you throw this conversation on me.
Gotta be on your toes, B-man.
Apparently so. Keep my head on a swivel. No, there will be 0% of me that would feel that way. But I bet there are some owners in the league that would relish at the point or at the opportunity to be able to see him thrown out there in a game where they could point to him like, see, he sucked. See, he sucked, even though it wouldn't be his fault because they would be putting on an offensive line that couldn't start for the Roughnecks at that point.
Without, if you're talking about tackles, what, 4 and 5?
Yeah.
Center 3.
Center 3, yeah.
And left guard 4? Maybe more?
It doesn't matter. They're going to be putting – again, this is hypothetical. We don't actually know that Laremy Tunsil's going to miss a game. He's just on the injury report, probably a Veterans Day rest. But in the scenario where he does miss the game, I mean, you're putting out an offensive line, with the exception of Shaq Mason, that doesn't deserve – barely deserves to be on the roster, much less starting for an NFL team. So, again, it's probably going to be considered a hot take. It might put me on Bad Take Boulevard tomorrow. I'm not sure, but I would start Davis Mills if Laremy Tunsil's out because I'm not getting C.J. Stroud killed.
I think that is probably going to get you, I'm not going to say a house.
A condo?
I think it's going to get you, let's say, a day at the pool. At Jeremy Branham's house on Bad Take Boulevard.
Because he's got the mansion, right?
He's got Buckingham Palace. Okay, but it's probably going to get you a day at the pool at his giant mansion.
So that take is worth a pool pass is what you're saying.
That take is worth a pool pass.
Okay, all right.
And it does come with the inflatable swan that you can...
Well, I'm going to get these takes more often.
And
I'm getting a pool pass and a swan?
The outdoor fridge with the beer. And
you're making this sound way too attractive, Patrick. This is supposed to be a detriment. This is supposed to be a bad thing for me.
It's a palace. I mean, you know, Jeremy, you know, with all the big time, you know, afternoon drive and UH money that he makes, he can literally afford to have servants who stand outside and cook at the fixed outdoor grill and will serve you poolside.
I don't think that's entirely accurate, if I had to guess.
All right. They not only do they serve you food, but they also serve you drinks.
I'm going to go with still not entirely
all
accurate.
All the drinks, though, do have a banana in them because of how hot it is. So you need to have that extra potassium in the mixed drink.
That sounds like a very old man take, Patrick. You're gonna bring up the age here on the station.
They do that if you go to Cancun in the summer. There's a banana. They blend it. There's a banana in every mixed drink because it's 110 degrees all summer.
Okay. See, I've never been to a resort like that, so I wouldn't know. But maybe you're the one with the money for the food servants and the butlers if you're going to Cancun to get these banana drinks.
I was the one with the money, and then
back when you're hanging with the Wolf of Wall Street,
and then 2008 happened.
Yeah.
And then I was no longer the one with the money. Me and about 500,000 other people in New York City alone suddenly found ourselves in deep, deep caca. Because all the things the banks were telling us were lies. Appreciate my man Mark Ryan, CBS Sports Radio. Gerard Hartman, Klee Picks with BettingPredators.com. My man B-Mac on the other side of the glass, keeping everything rolling with you tonight. We're back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's an off day for the Astros. We'll have plenty of time to talk about baseball and football tomorrow. Have a great night. H-Town!